You use up all the glue on purpose.
I say this calls for action, and now, nip it in the bud.
Step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out of here.
Welcome to PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to the bunker, everybody. It's March the 3rd, and it is Friday, folks, and
three.
It's been a beautiful day.
Six. Which is apropos of nothing. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah.
Well. Quarter past 7 bunker standard time, 0115 hours Greenwich Mean, and it has been a beautiful day here in St. Louis.
It's been glorious. You took the day off, which was fabulous for us.
Mm-hmm. And, well, of course, Java came in at 5:30 this morning.
I know.
Obviously afraid that I had missed the alarm and was going to be late for work or something.
Oh, she's so cute, though.
It's hard
to her little bell. We've got a cat collar on her so we can tell where she is. Because, again, she only weighs about 3 pounds. And that was before she got sick that
probably
she weighed
less.
3 pounds. So we, rather than step on her, we like to know where she is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, anyway, she's taking lessons from Murphy, obviously. Because Murphy is very good about making sure that I know what time it is in the morning. I don't usually oversleep. And I don't usually forget to set my alarm. But there have been a couple times when I have. And Murphy was right there on the job. 5:30, in my face, Dad, it's time. Get up now. Except for the one morning you let me sleep till 7:15. That was a little late.
That was really bizarre.
That was Valentine's Day. I remember that well because I was supposed to pick up Nicole early and take her past her boyfriend's house.
Right. Yeah. That is right. Oh, my goodness. What a day that was.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that was his gift to you.
Yeah.
I'll let Dad sleep today.
Yeah.
We've had an interesting day here in the bunker. We told you the story about the mailmen, the mailmen parade that went by 4 different trucks in the space of maybe 10 minutes going by.
That was last Saturday.
That was last Saturday. And so today we had Laclede Gas stopped by. Mm-hmm. A panel truck pulled in across the street. No, actually it was a van the first time.
Right.
Pulled in across the street into the neighbor's yard, and then he walks over into our yard with a pointy stick.
He starts jamming it into the ground, which is, you know, nice of him to aerate the lawn, although that's usually done in the fall, and usually with something with a lot of points on the end, so
exactly.
It doesn't take quite such a
this
long time.
This is going to take him a long time.
Yeah. Well, actually, what he was doing was sampling for escaping gas.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, our neighbor across the street, or the story goes that our neighbor across the street reported the smell of gas. Now, we've smelled nothing, but he told us that we have a gas leak somewhere between the house and the street, and that they would call out a repair truck. Now, if you've dealt with a local utility company, generally, they're not real quick to come out, you know, when something is needed. This didn't seem to be an emergency situation. So we weren't expecting to see a truck, a repair truck, for a couple of days at the earliest. However, within the hour, an official truck showed up, and a couple of fellows got out of the truck with their testing equipment.
However, one of them had a cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
Now, you may wonder why a crew from the local gas company checking for a natural gas leak would do so with a lit cigarette in his mouth. Needless to say, we also wondered.
I also wonder.
Yeah. We watched very carefully from inside the house, prepared to leap to safety at a moment's notice if, say, he were to take the cigarette, turn, and suddenly throw it in the direction of the street.
Yes. Now, mind you, we were not close enough to said cigarette to tell whether or not it was a Morley. But had it been,
we would have known something was up.
Yes. Yeah. I looked at Derek at one point after they'd been here 5 minutes or so, and I said, now, isn't it odd? After the mailman parade, we now have a utility company showing up when we've smelled nothing saying, mm-hmm. You have a gas leak. We're going to have to take care of this now.
Mm-hmm. And the first guy left and said, well, because it's not urgent, it may be, well, a day or two before they get out here. It might not be till Monday. And within the hour, they had a panel truck out front.
Uh-huh.
With a couple of guys, one of them smoking a cigarette as they looked. Now, doesn't that strike you as odd? When you pull into a gas station, have you ever been at a petrol filling station where there was not a sign that's saying, please extinguish smoking materials? Do not smoke cigarettes while you're... Now, I know gasoline and natural gas are not quite the same thing, but the principle is the same. When you're working around gases that are flammable in the presence of fire, you don't use fire.
Now, mind you, the reason that we take this as seriously as we do, just in case, you know, we're laughing, but we really do take this seriously. Mm-hmm. Maybe six blocks from here.
Yeah.
Maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, not that long ago.
Well, Nicole was in grade school.
Yeah.
She was in the fifth grade, I think.
I know I blogged about it, so it wasn't that long.
Oh, okay. Well,
about two years ago.
We heard a blam. And it was early in the morning. Nicole was waiting for her bus to come by. Mm-hmm. And the windows rattled. Well, frankly, it reminded me of a sonic boom.
Mm-hmm.
Because I grew up with them. But we found out very shortly after hearing sirens and watching the news that it was actually a house in our neighborhood that had blown up. Because they had – apparently they found out later there was a gas leak that had been underground, undetected, that had just built up.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly the house just went bluey.
Yeah. Well, these homes were built about 35 years ago, and a lot of the piping used for the natural gas lines at that time was just ductile iron.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, corrosion occurs mm-hmm. when you use products made of iron, and some of these pipes are beginning to leak.
Yeah.
So apparently we've got a leak. The neighbor across the street has a leak. But we just thought it was kind of funny seeing this, having this happen less than a week after the parade of mail trucks last week. So, Rest assured that the bunker is safe at least for another day, and the gas company says they'll be out within the next couple of days to replace the pipe with a plastic pipe, PVC, either a sleeve outside or inside the existing line, and we should be okay for another 35 years or so.
It's always something happening here at the bunker.
But yeah, the guy smoking while checking for gas leaks.
I wish I'd had a picture of that.
That is a classic.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, another thing happened this week. I think it was on Monday, maybe even late last week. I honestly cannot remember the exact day. Maybe you do. But we neglected to mention it, and that was the passing of two classic actors.
Yes.
One of whom we are so fond, and that is Darren McGavin and Don Knotts.
Darren McGavin, you probably remember from his role as the father in A Christmas Story, Ralphie's Old Man.
Mm-hmm.
It's a clinker!
Bumpuses!
Yeah, a great role. But, of course, he was also the lead character in the 1970s series The Night Stalker, which he played Carl Kolchak, an investigative reporter who followed up leads and stories into the paranormal and supernatural. It was the inspiration, Chris Carter said, for the series The X-Files. And he later cast Darren McGavin in a couple of roles. One as an FBI, retired FBI agent in the X-Files, and then as the father of the lead character of his series Millennium. And, of course, McGavin was just a fabulous actor. He was really excellent. He had a long, long career. He starred in a television series based on the Mike Hammer novels back in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember the Mike Hammer series with Stacey Keach.
Right.
I did not know that Darren McGavin had starred in the series back in the 50s.
Oh, he was a big star. Big star. Just a huge, huge star, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
And inspired so many things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of those actors that you watch no matter what he's in. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Don Knotts, you know.
I know
Barney
everybody.
Fife.
Exactly. And you know what? He made that show. He really was the comic genius that I think was underrated.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, of course, he went on to a career in movies, The Incredible Mr. Limpet, The Ghost and Mr. Chicken, and
the Apple Dumpling Gang.
Apple Dumpling
I always
Gang,
loved that one with
the
Tim.
The gang that couldn't shoot straight. Yeah, Tim Conway.
Yes, Tim Conway.
Yeah, and of course Mr. Furley in Three's Company.
Yeah, I could take that one or leave it, but because to me he was trying to replay Barney in kind of a 70s way, and
right,
you know, no.
No, I wasn't crazy about that either, but still he was a talent, and. Boy, you know, the interplay, you can tell the warmth of the relationship between Don Knotts and Andy Griffith.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the lead characters pretty much on the mm-hmm. show. Even today, it still holds up. In fact, we were watching the marathon the other night on, mm-hmm. Was it Nick at Night?
In fact, I love Nick at Night. During the day, if I just want to relax and get away from the news, because those of you who go to watch your magazine, you see that we're active on it all day long. We're trying to find the news. And, of course, in the evenings, Derek and I talk about what's on Watcher, mm-hmm. which we'll get to in a minute. And sometimes during the day, I really do just need a break from it all.
Sure.
So I generally will watch Dick Van Dyke
mm-hmm.
or Mayberry.
Yeah. And those shows, the writing stands up over the 45 years that it's been since these series were first aired.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a gentleness and a sweetness about those shows that's missing in television today.
Mm-hmm.
Sitcoms today generally show very acerbic characters. The kids are smart-alecky and disrespectful. The fathers are stupid.
Yeah.
And you know, that's basically the relationship then. You know, mm-hmm. they're dysfunctional, which, let's face it, most families are in one way or another dysfunctional.
Well, that's
but,
true.
At least in those days, families would work through their problems by talking, a lesson was taught, and the authority of the parents, especially the father, was respected.
Mm-hmm.
And the fathers generally exercised that authority, not in an iron-handed way, but in a wise and gentle way, which, again, is not the way most families operate, but
right.
at least it was there was a model there
right.
that I think was worth emulating. And yeah. we don't see that on television today, which is why we don't watch much television today.
We don't. Well, we're sad to see that we've lost yeah. those two great actors.
So, yeah, it's the passing of an era as time marches on.
I know. Well, on to the news, speaking of time.
Yeah, we've been kind of keeping an eye as we aired the interview with Carl Schwartz this week on the depleted uranium story, and just trying to get a gauge for how much traction the story is getting in the mainstream press. Very little, I'm mm-hmm. sad to say.
Yeah, they're still talking about the whole ports deal, which I think is very, very, important.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I didn't mean to pun there, but I think this other one is huge.
It is, because it's affecting hundreds of thousands mm-hmm. of our veterans.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking at the statistics from Gulf War One, and the number of them that are now on permanent disability, hundreds of thousands mm-hmm. of men and women, is not an exaggeration.
Exactly. But, you know, beyond that, it's also affecting so many civilians,
mm-hmm.
not just the ones in the immediate area, but as we've seen from the report, these winds are taking it possibly all over the world, to
right.
Europe for sure.
Right. And it's telling that, as Dr. Busby mentioned in his report, which is what prompted Carl Schwartz to begin this campaign to try to spread the word about this scandal. Halliburton, the company in charge of the sensors at the Atomic Weapons Establishment in the UK, when they were finally forced under English law to release that data, withheld the information for the first few months of 2003, which is when we dropped all those munitions on Baghdad during the Battle of Baghdad. So they knew there was something in that data they didn't want getting out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't read that PDF file yet, we'll put another link to it in today's show notes. You owe it to yourself to download that file, read it, and look at the data before assuming that these charges are coming from tree-hugging ideologues
mm-hmm.
who are trying to make a point without any facts to back them up. The information was collected by law in England at the request of the UK government. And finally, it was the government in the UK, the Ministry of Defense, that got that last bit of data out there, which shows the spike in radiation in the UK 3,000 miles from Baghdad after all those DU munitions were dropped there. Now, as we reported this week, another $38 million order here in the U.S. went out for more depleted uranium tank rounds. And so more of those will be put into service in the United States Army. And again, it's not a story that is getting any traction here in the U.S. press. If you do a Google search in Google News or Yahoo News
mm-hmm.
for the phrase depleted uranium, the stories that you'll see that are current, like this week, mm-hmm. are coming from Al Jazeera, Qatar News, Qatar, Gutter.
Yeah. Gutter.
Gutter. People in the Middle East who are a lot closer to the problem than most of us here in the heartland of the United States, but the U.S. press is ignoring it. With the exception of the Lone Star Iconoclast there in Crawford, Texas. God bless them.
God bless them. You know, I think this proves that both sides are they're it's the same thing.
Right.
It's the same thing. They're both complicit in this. And so nobody wants this story right. out. Otherwise, the Democrats would be all over it.
Exactly. Our friends on the left who want to pick up this story and run with it and use it to tar the Bush administration, Bush 1 and Bush 2. Don't forget that these rounds were being used during Mr. Clinton's war in Kosovo and Bosnia, and during the times that we were dropping those precision-guided missiles on Iraq every time he had another bimbo eruption that he needed to distract us from. So this has been going on, yes, this has been going on pretty consistently since 1991.
Well, left turn. For those of you who have been thinking about paying off those credit cards, here's a story that's going to make you think.
How to get yourself into the Department of Homeland Security master database in a hurry. Pay off a credit card, preferably one with a high balance.
Oh, gosh. A story coming out of Texas. A school teacher decides to pay off his JCPenney MasterCard and sends in a check for $6,522. You know, bless his heart for paying it off. That's
sure.
a high, you know, balance. It must have been tough on a school teacher's salary to come up with it. Paid it off, and he gets apparently, it wasn't credited to his account, so he called in, and he was told.
Yeah, he was told that, well, we had to, because the amount that was sent in was much larger than their average monthly payment, they had to notify the Department of Homeland Security so that DHS could run a check on this gentleman. Now, his name is Walter, and I don't, I'm going to try to pronounce
it. I would say maybe Senge.
Senge, S-O-E-H-N-G-E.
Yeah.
He and his wife were planning to move from Texas to Rhode Island because they thought Rhode Island in the fall was so beautiful. And as part of this preparation to move, they were going to pay down some debt. And they sent in the check, and JCPenney said, yeah, we got your check, but we've not credited your account yet because Department of Homeland Security is investigating you. Now, they finally did credit the account once they determined that Mr. and Mrs. Senge were not, in fact, supporting international terrorism through their JCPenney account.
Mm-hmm.
But he's pretty ticked off.
Yeah.
And I think there should be alarm bells going off for all of us here as well.
Right. And I think it goes along with the same regulation that requires banks to report any withdrawal over a certain amount.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that at the time that the regulation came in a few years back that it was anything over $2,000, but they may have altered that. It may be a lower amount now.
I'm not sure what it was. I remember reading about a change in banking laws that was proposed under the Clinton administration called the Know Your Customer Act.
Right.
Which required them to report any deposit into an account of more than $10,000.
Right, but they also had to report any withdrawal.
Any withdrawal,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
If you want cash for something, then they have to assume you're going to pay off your drug dealer.
Yeah, yeah. And at the time, that's how they were justifying it because, of course, this was pre-9/11.
Mm-hmm.
But in the post-9/11 world, and boy, does that phrase make the hackles on the back of my neck stand up anymore.
Oh, it does. I hate that phrase.
Yeah. Things like this now are justified as being necessary for the war on terror.
Mm-hmm.
So if you pay off a large debt all in one lump sum, which is something that we occasionally do because in my job, I work on a base salary and then I get a commission every quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And when God blesses and we have a good quarter,
we'll pay off a credit card or two.
Take some of that money and pay off a credit card or two as we try to get out from underneath the debt. And so it's interesting to know that we may well, if we haven't already through these podcasts, we may well wind up under investigation by the Department of Homeland Security just for paying off our debt.
You know, you're reminding me of something. This has nothing to do with paying off a credit card. But we got an email from a listener who belonged to a certain online community.
Mm-hmm.
And very conservative community. We won't name it.
Yes, we will. It's Free Republic.
Oh, you did it. You said it. Oh, I said it again.
Well, I mean, we've mentioned Democratic Underground here. It's like this is like the opposite end of the spectrum.
This is supposed to be a place where you're free to say what you choose,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Open forum, speak your mind. Well, this guy brought up depleted uranium, brought up several things that we've talked about on PID Radio. He's been kicked out.
He's been banned from the forum. Can you believe that? I mean, free republic. But, you know, I've heard the same thing happen at Democratic Underground. I've read a story like this at Jeff Wells' blog, Rigorous Intuition. Somebody who raised a topic on the Democratic Underground, and isn't it interesting that its initials are also DU, DU forum, about a topic that cast Bill Clinton in a negative light, or John Kerry, so one or the other. But anyway, mm-hmm. It was the same basic thing. They basically warned the guy, and then the second time they banned him from the forum. So it goes on both sides, and should be an indicator, again, that when you join these forums, that you're not always being encouraged to really share your thoughts, your feelings, and look for the truth. Mm-hmm. Basically, what you're there to do is to try to promote a very narrow, particular agenda. Mm-hmm. So, but we just, we're sorry that this fellow got kicked off the forum there, but but we're very thankful that he's listening and helping us to seek the truth. And we do encourage you, if you catch us in something in error, mm-hmm. Or if you disagree with us, you know, feel free to send us an email.
Yeah, we may, we may reconsider our position. In fact, we generally do. If somebody writes in and says, you know what, I totally disagree with you, Derek and I will usually talk about it. Mm-hmm. And truthfully, most of the time we say, no,
that's how we feel. And the facts.
Because we have taken a long time to come to the position we have now. Mm-hmm. We did not arrive at any of these conclusions overnight.
No, and when we don't know something or we can't support something with fact, we will try to make it clear that we're just expressing opinions or that we're speculating.
Right.
So anyway, it was interesting getting that email. This fella raised some stuff that he heard on the PIDcast and got himself booted out of Free Republic. So I guess conservatives aren't as open-minded as they'd like to think. Well, I don't know. They think themselves open-minded.
Well, it's really interesting. Anyway. Well, clearly the internet should be a wonderful spot for people to come in and have open debate. Mm-hmm. Just like blogs should be a place where people can go in and write whatever they choose to without the government coming in and saying, we think you should write this.
Yeah. Isn't that curious? We found a story today, and this was at Defense... Oh, gosh, what was it? DefenseNet? I've got to go back and look up the
story
now. Essentially, CENTCOM.
DefenseLink.news.
Yeah, DefenseLink.mil. DefenseLink News, but it's DefenseLink.mil.
Oh, you've got .news on here.
Do I have a dot in there?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't.
DefenseLink.mil. Uh-huh.
Yeah. CENTCOM has basically got a...
No, sorry, no dot. Defense Link News. Well, I need new reading glasses.
We
use a fly spec.
We need to reformat those little bylines there and make it font size 3 or 4, maybe 10.
20.
Yeah. But anyway, CENTCOM has actually got a group of soldiers that are tasked with the job of going out and interfacing with bloggers who are writing about military issues. That's basically it. They have recognized that the blogosphere is an important way for information as an information exchange in the 21st century. And so we now have soldiers who are being paid to sit at a computer terminal, look for bloggers writing about military stuff, and then contact them and ask if they would like more information about the topic they're writing about.
To quote, this outreach effort enables the team to offer complete information to bloggers by inviting them to visit CENTCOM's website for news releases, data, or imagery.
The main interest is to drive their readers to our site, says Army Reserve Major Richard J. McNorton. Now online readers have the opportunity to read positive stories. At least the public can go there and see the whole story.
Yes,
he said, adding that the news stories the military generates are very factual.
And well, they have a viral effect. Uh-huh. I thought that was an interesting quote.
Well, again, we have all the respect in the world for the young men and women who have volunteered to serve in the military because we come from families in which a lot of our relatives have served. Mm-hmm. And we know that people who volunteer rather than generally do it because they want to serve. So we don't have a problem with that. But that said, this is PSYOPs, pure and simple.
Mm-hmm.
Especially coming as this does, just weeks after the revelation that the Defense Department is paying to plant stories in Iraqi newspapers. And, of course, we know that the Army has had PSYOPs operatives working inside CNN, and I have no doubt that MSNBC, Fox News, and other news organizations mm-hmm. are similarly embedded with guys who are there to make sure that the stories printed about the U.S. military are factual. Mm-hmm. And why just the military? Why not the State Department? Why not, you know, other branches of the U.S. government? The government has been researching how to influence the way populations think for years, since World War II. In fact, Philip and Paul Collins, who we've interviewed several times in this podcast, have an excellent article that's coming out in the ACL Journal, which is the publication by A Closer Look, Michael Corbin, the talk show host from Denver, mm-hmm. which it really explores this topic in depth and points out how many of the guys who were involved with public relations during World War II went on to very prominent careers in the news media and in Hollywood after World War II.
You know, it makes me think of the Good Housekeeping seal of approval. pretty soon, blogs will have the Defense Department seal of approval.
Yeah. Well, I guess we shouldn't be surprised by stuff like this, but it just means that when you're reading something, whether it's in the newspaper, on a blog, or when you see it on television, you have to be very discerning.
You do.
Yeah.
You know, and our listeners are. God mm-hmm. bless all of you. We are so really, really honored to have the listeners that we do.
Yeah.
And it's been a year now. So on Monday, we're going to take a little trip down memory lane with you. And we're going to reminisce about the things that we've talked about and the guests that we've talked with mm-hmm. over the last year. And on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday next week, we mm-hmm. believe, if all goes well, we're going to be bringing you Barry Chemish.
Right. We spoke with him briefly last week, Sunday, and it turned out that a report we'd heard proved to be correct, that he had just suffered a minor stroke and had just returned from the hospital. And Barry Chemish is an investigative reporter who's written some pretty inflammatory stuff mm-hmm. about what's gone on in Israel. He's got some very strong ideas about the way things are working over there, about the nature of politics, about the struggle for control of Jerusalem, and about some of the supernatural things that are going on in Israel, too. In fact, he's written a book about the return of the Nephilim to Israel.
Which is a phrase all of you, or at least most of you, mm-hmm. I'm betting, are familiar with, especially those who've listened to Tom Horn.
Right. So we will talk with Barry about that. In fact, he sent an email earlier this week, about Wednesday, and reconfirmed the interview time for this weekend. So we look forward to that. He also asked how Jabba was doing.
You know what? She's asleep right now, right next to us, and she's still recovering. Apparently, when a puppy has parvo, that assuming they survive, and frankly, that is very often not the case, mm-hmm. That it takes about 2 weeks to really totally recover. That GI tract has to heal, and the mucosa has to regenerate. So she's still... she thinks she's tough. She thinks she's well.
But she was chowing down today, though. Her stomach is definitely feeling better, that's for sure.
I know it, but I suspect that that's probably not the best thing for her to do. She probably still needs to take it easy. But we appreciate all the prayers that everybody has lifted up for her. And if you'll lift them up for Barry Chemish, we'd really appreciate that, mm-hmm. and I know he would as well.
Yeah. Well, and as, by the way, just to carry on the theme of Israel for just a couple minutes, we had mentioned a story a couple days ago about Jerry Falwell and Pastor John Hagee mm-hmm. and some confusion or discrepancies about what was actually said to the Jerusalem Post. And after having done a little more research, and this is an example of a case where somebody responds to what we've said and caused me to do a little more research into mm-hmm. what Pastor Hagee right. has been teaching. And he's been quoted in interviews, Houston Chronicle in particular.
Right.
And it is pretty clear from what he told the Houston Chronicle and from a position paper that he wrote for the Christian Research Institute outlining what he believes, mm-hmm. that he does hold that certain Jews, have a... it gets into predestination.
He teaches that there is a remnant
that will make it into heaven without having to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Right. I think that our listener who wrote in and said that the word heresy comes to mind, I think you're dead on.
Yeah, exactly.
That is heretical.
Yeah, I mean, it denies what Jesus flat out said.
It's so. Teaching another Jesus. It's preaching another gospel.
Yeah.
And you know what? I have always liked John Hagee, and my prayer is that that he'll just straighten up.
Yeah. Yeah, and we, it's not that we don't support the nation of Israel or the Jewish people. We believe that the nation of Israel has a right to exist.
Mm-hmm.
However, we think that it's dangerous to confuse the state of Israel, the secular state of Israel, the government of Israel, with the Jewish people who are blessed by God.
Right.
I think there's a difference there, and that's a difference that's lost on a lot of evangelical Christians today, sadly.
Yeah.
And Pastor Hagee may be one of those. And one last bit of news, which... just causes me to roll my eyes. Madonna is planning to buy a house in Israel because she wants to be there when the Messiah returns. Now, as you know, Madonna is into Kabbalah, which is the demon-inspired heresy. It's basically the black magic version of Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
And she is planning on buying a house in the Israeli town of Rosh Pina, where the ancient Kabbalah tradition holds that the Messiah is going to return at the end of the world. Well,
you know, if she hadn't already led enough young women astray just with her behavior and dress and her music.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I mean, there was a time that I liked hearing her songs because, you know, as far as just the sound of the song, I thought, well, that's okay.
Well crafted.
Exactly. But she came to a point where, and I think it was the Like a Virgin video.
Mm-hmm.
There was a video that came out, maybe that wasn't it, but there was a video that came out that, to me, was so out there. So she really crossed the line, and I said, that is it. And I literally boycotted her after that, and I still boycott her.
Mm-hmm.
So she's just ate up.
Well, and it's dangerous because she is now writing children's books and influencing children through those writings. It's just really bizarre because she wrote the children's book and wanted to present it as something wholesome. You know, now that she's got a child of her own and she's responsible mother and parent, then she goes on tour and does that bizarre stunt with Britney Spears on the MTV Music Awards a couple of years ago.
The whole kiss thing.
The whole kiss thing. Now, do you have your young daughter backstage while you're doing this stuff and going out on stage the way you are? You know, anyway, she's drawing people in through this mysticism that she's promoting. In fact, she wants to buy a home that's about 100 years old there. In this little town overlooking the Sea of Galilee and turn it into a center for the study of Kabbalah, which, again, is nothing more than teaching a black magic form of Judaism. So
that's ate up.
Be warned, and that's definitely a topic that we'll need to tackle down the road.
Well, that wraps up another week here at PID.
Yeah, it's a pleasure once again doing this program, and we are thankful that you are listening and downloading this. We always welcome your comments and questions. radio@peeringintodarkness.com is the email address.
And we would love to have you visit the forum. Join us, read the stories that are posted there, jump in, and opine.
Question nothing, believe everything we say.
It's peeringintodarkness.com/forum.
Until Monday, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Have a fabulous weekend, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out.